The last declaration I want to make over you before Luke takes over is that I felt God saying that you guys are going to be great moms and dads. Daar's klaar 'n paar mamas en papas daar agter. And there's another great mom. You're going to be a great dad. You're going to be a great mom if you get to know God in the way that we got to know him now. Thanks, worship team. That was next level. Thank you.
Dankie, bro. Almost like a ou. Amo and I have been working together for how long now? 3 years. Three long, long years. My hair's starting to go gray. I'm not even joking. And I blame that squarely on Amo. But I'm building up treasures in heaven. And I'm also really humble. But enough. More about that later. No, joking. But let's, before we get started, let's pray. Agreed? Yeah? That's a good place to start. So I just want to thank you that you are in this room tonight, Lord Father. Just thank you that we can enjoy your presence, Lord, that we can have fun, Lord Father God. Father, I just pray that you come and speak to each and every one of us, including myself, Lord Father God. I just pray that it's not me that's speaking, but it's you that's speaking tonight, Father. I just pray, Lord Father God, that you would meet with every single person here today. In your name, amen. Fantastic. Okay, so we, for those of you who were here last week, we spoke about getting into the presence of God, right? So we spoke about that. We're starting this campaign, if you want to call it. We want to teach you guys to help one friend, because as Amu likes to say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So we want to reach the world, we want to reach the nations and the generations. And when you're looking at the world and you've watched the State of the Nation address on Thursday and you watch the news, it kind of seems like a bit of a daunting task. Amen? So where do we start? We start with the person sitting next to us. We start with the person that we go to class with, the person that we work with. We start with one person. How can we help one person to better their relationship with God, right? And God's really talking to Amu and myself and a lot of people that we are encountering. Monica's sister and Monica's heavy, Oswar. It's an Afrikaans joke. I'm English, so... apparently it's funny. And Monica's sister and brother-in-law came to visit us, and God's talking to them in Mozambique. They're missionaries in Mozambique. God's talking to them about the same thing. We need to disciple people. We need to start with the people that we have and work out from there. It's a fantastic plan. It was Jesus' plan, so it must be a good plan. Amen. The Great Commission. Go out into all the nations and make disciples of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. Yes? Good plan. Great. So we spoke about, but before we go anywhere, we need to get into the presence of God. So we need to make disciples, but we replicate ourselves. So if we don't know how to seek the presence of God, our disciples aren't going to know how to seek the presence of God. And everything must flow out of that place, out of the throne room of God. So how do we get into the throne room of God? So it was great. Seek the presence of God. Everyone was like, yeah, great, fantastic, had a good time. And then I don't know about you, but maybe during the week you're like, this is a bit more difficult than I thought. So tonight we want to talk about how do we hear the voice of God? But more specifically, because we are learning about helping one friend, we're going to learn about how can you help one friend to hear the voice of God. Amen? So this week, you're going to apply what you've learned today, and you're going to help one person to hear the voice of God. Is that challenge accepted? Okay, great. So I'm praying that each and every one of you will have a supernatural encounter with somebody who desires to hear the voice of God. And you're going to go, wait a minute, I learned about this on Sunday. I can help you out. Fantastic. Sounds like a great plan, right? Amen? We're going to go places. Fantastic. So, Let's open up the floor. How do we hear God's voice? How does he talk to us? This is not a one-way sermon. I expect feedback and I expect answers. Yes, Victor. By reading his word. Fantastic. Right off the bat. Yes, Mark at the back there. By praying. Fantastic. Hearing his word. Okay. Yeah. By being still. Philip, you look like you're dying to say something. I just see your hand itching there. Okay, great. So it's not just reading the word, but taking him as he says he is in the word. Did I say that right? Okay. So if he says that he's a good father, it doesn't mean that he's sometimes bad and he's sometimes good, like a yin-yang God. He's a good father. There's no bad, there's good. Right? Anybody else? Hearing the audible voice of God? Okay, great. Anybody here heard the audible voice of God? Okay. Having a relationship with God? Visions, pictures, words of knowledge. So, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Has anybody here ever heard God through their circumstance? So something happened and they're like, okay, God, I get it. You're trying to teach me something. Yeah? Okay. Has somebody ever come to you and said, hey, Monica, I have a word for you. And you've got like, wow, God, you're trying to talk to me. People have come to you and said this, and this. And you go to the Bible and you see that's true and it's blessed you, right? Okay. So we're gonna focus on four main things. This is a broad topic. And God has spoken to many people through many different ways. If you want to go read the Bible, I recommend it. God talks to people through burning bushes, through a donkey. Okay, the story of Balaam's ass. You can go do what all great scholars do and go Google it. What? It's a donkey. Sorry, we're in church. Balaam's donkey. How else did God speak? Many other, but we're going to focus on four things. Okay, so God talks to us through circumstances, okay, through the word, in that still small voice, okay, which we spoke about last week, and then he speaks to us through other people. Okay, and we're gonna be doing things very interactive. So for each point, we're going to find a scripture. Okay, we're going to find an example, and then we're going to ask the very important question, how can I use this to help someone hear God's voice? Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to divide the room into four groups, and each group is going to take circumstances, the word, still small voice, other people. So let's do it very simply. So we're going to take the first two rows on this side, you're one group. The last two rows on this side is one group. First two rows this side, last two rows. And you three right at the back, I think you can come join this group over here to even things out. Okay, so get together, make a circle. Go. Okay. So, group number one. This is group number one. You're going to take circumstances. So God speaks to us through circumstances. Okay, group number two at the back there. God speaks to us through his word. So you're going to take the word, okay? Group number three at the back there. God speaks to us in his still small voice, okay? And then group number four over here. God speaks to us through other people. So, just go to the next slide. Okay, so each group must first nominate a spokesperson, and then you must find a scripture. If you're lost, do what all great scholars do and use Google or Wikipedia. It's very accurate, I've been told. Find an example, so use a testimony, find an example in scripture, etc., etc., and then you must brainstorm how can we use this to help someone hear God's voice? So you're going to take the scripture, the example. How do I approach someone, or how do, when I'm in conversation with somebody, hey, group number one, you can't have a head start here, hey? You're cheating. Yeah. Okay, you're disqualified. Yeah. I think they're already cheating because you've got Pastor Armour with you. I think that's unfair. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys, say, 5 minutes. Okay, so nominate a spokesperson because that person is going to give feedback to the rest of the group. Then find a scripture, find an example, and then brainstorm. So give me at least 2 or 3 points. How are you going to help someone hear God's voice using what you have found? Go. Thank you. Time is up. Nervous faces. Yes. You could just finish up with your last points and then we're going to continue. Okay. Donkey. Okay, before we continue, you guys, if you guys can turn around because we're just going to discuss. So if you don't want to keep, facing the back the whole rest of the service. Okay, before we continue, I just need a volunteer scribe for us to write down. Thanks, Clive. He's such a servant heart. He said before the service, I have to mention his name during the sermon, so now he's going to regret it. Clive's also single, and if you want his number, I can give it to you. Do you want me to mention your name next week? No, Jackie. Okay, so we're going to start off with circumstances. Don't go to the next slide just yet. Just keep back. No cheating. Great, thanks. Yay, school. Okay, who's going to talk for us here? Mark, yeah, come up here if you don't mind. Okay, so you can give us your scripture, your example, and then how are you guys going to help a friend on this point?
Hello, guys. My name is Vusi. We found a scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25 and verse 26. And the example is also found in that scripture. So these guys were in prison, and something happened in prison. The prison doors were open because Paul and Silas praised and worshiped God. But the guy who was responsible of the prison, he thought that his job is at stake, and he was so worried. And unfortunately, out of anxiety, he took a decision to kill himself because of the circumstances. But these guys, they said to him, no, don't be too quick to make up that decision. Just hold on a bit. Everything is under control. So Paul and Silas, they helped that guy in the face of anxiety, in the face of fear. They help him understand that everything is under control.
Okay, so what we thought was, how can you use this to help a friend hear the voice of the Lord? And I mean, many circumstances happen to us throughout the day, and we felt that you just got to ask Jesus, what are you trying to say through the circumstance? Once, you can relate to scriptures like that in the Bible, and you can say, this is how this person felt or heard the voice of the Lord. So you can ask questions. You can say, what do you think the Lord is saying to you about that circumstance? What is the example if you fail all your exams, but you studied really hard? You know, you can ask God, what is going on? You know, like, what does this mean for me? I don't know. Was that, is that cool?
Great. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. Classic teacher. Okay. Great job. Let's discuss it. So you can go to the next slide. So when I think about circumstances, I think about the scripture here. Proverbs 16, verse 9. In his heart, man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Right? Now, I love this scripture because you can do so much with it. There's this idea that I'm planning a course, okay? So I'm planning from A to B, okay? But God is going to determine exactly how I get there. So I could go straight, I could go zigzag, I could go up on the stage, but I'm too lazy to get up there now. But this is the point of difference, because people understand that they need to get somewhere. There's within every person, I believe personally, that there's a built-in sense of purpose. I've got to be somewhere. I've got to go somewhere. I've got to do something with my life. My life has to mean something. I want it to mean something. I don't just want to be a nobody. When I die, I don't just want to be left with a void. I want something to matter. Am I the only one in the room? Do you guys agree with this? Okay. I want my life to stand for something. So I want to get from point A to point B. I have a destination in mind. I don't necessarily know where it is or what it's going to look like, but I have something in mind. And God has the same thing in mind, except he knows the destination, he knows what it looks like, and he knows what it's going to look like. Okay, so he's three up on us. And this is the point of departure, because we don't understand these things, right? I want to tell you a story. So I was talking with Noah. Where's Noah? Yes, what an amazing man. What a man of God. So I was talking with Noah, and Noah and I were discussing his sister. So he was telling me at the time, sure, my sister, she's really not doing so well. She's doubting God. She hasn't had a job for a year, and she doesn't know where God is. So Noah asked me, what should I tell her? So I said, wow, that's amazing. You mean to tell me that your sister has gone a whole year without a job, and she's had food, she's had shelter over her head, and she's been provided for a whole year without a job? That's amazing. And Noah told his sister this, and the sister, she did a 180. Am I right, Noah? She completely's like, wow, you're right. You know? The circumstances remain the same. What changes is how we look at it. Okay. Because we see one thing. We see in our mind's eye, we see the thing that we hope to get to one day, the thing that we hope our lives mean. But God sees. He sees the path. He sees the next step. There's another scripture, a great scripture, says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that image is so powerful, because what it says is that I'm walking in the dark and I can't really see in the distance, but what I can see is the next step, you know. The step over here, the step over there, you know. And often that's how God works. Mark, what is that scripture you always love to quote? It's the glory of God too. Okay, it's the glory of God to conceal things and glory of kings to discover them. What an amazing scripture. And I think everybody goes through things. Life is tough. But the way we look at it determines what God is going to speak to us. And this has to do with our, if we want to go very technical, we can talk about worldviews. And worldviews just mean the glasses that we look at the world. Tracy, can I borrow your glasses? So these are the glasses I'm choosing to look through the world. And at the moment, it's a little blurry. Okay? But we either have a worldview that aligns up with Scripture, and I love what Philip said. He said, we take God what he says he is. So we either have a worldview that, okay, when the word says this, this is what I believe. Okay, it's a decision that we, or we have a worldview that is based on what the world says. That it's about you, humanism, it's about your rights, what you can get out of it. Okay, and these are going to determine the way that you look at your circumstance. So Noah's sister, I don't know her, so I can't say how she looks at the world, but I can make a few guesses. So she looks at the one, she says, I should have a job. I got a teacher's degree. I should have a job right now. I've got this piece of paper that says I'm legit and I'm something. Right? The world owes me a job. And because I don't have a job, that means that something's wrong. Okay? What does the Bible say? It says, don't worry about tomorrow. Okay? I'll provide everything for you. Look at the lilies of the field. See how they're dressed. Not even King Solomon was dressed like that. If I take care of them, why not take care even more of you? Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Amazing stuff, right? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So this is how I would help one friend in terms of his circumstances. Noah comes to me, let's say it was his sister. Noah's sister comes to me and says, wow, this, and this has happened. And I feel so terrible. Okay? And there's two ways you can look at it. Okay? One thing happened, there's two ways to look at it. You can either look at it and you can encourage the sister. Okay, look, this is what God has been doing for you. And it changed her life. She now has a job. Hey, you told me she had a job the other day. It changed her life. She looked at it complete. She learned to trust God. Like, wow, God, I see that you've been telling me that you take care of all my circumstances. You take care of all my needs. Okay? So I want to encourage you. If you meet somebody that's going through a bad time, okay, help them to see it through a biblical worldview. See it through the eyes of the Bible. Okay, which means you've got to know your Bible, right? You've got to read your word, right? Okay, but that gets us to our next point. Fantastic. So group number two. You're not group number two.
Thanks, brother. I just said to Lisa now that I'm no longer going to tell people that I'm an extrovert because it leads to being nominated to be sent to the front to speak on behalf of our group. No. In terms of our scripture, we had Daniel's prayer, which in verse 2 it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So that was our scripture. Then in terms of our example, we looked at when Jesus was being tempted in the desert and that he always went back to saying, it was written. So always referring back to what's been given to him by the Lord through the written word. And in terms of helping someone to hear God's voice, it's one part just through encouraging people to always go back to the word and look for some of the answers to their questions in the word. And also maybe sitting down and helping someone understand what that means in their life. So actually discussing with them as well. So yeah, that was
give group number two a round of applause. No. Tracy goes like this every time. That's fantastic. I love it. Okay. So where were we? Oh yes, the word. Okay, so now because it's Valentine's Day, I want to get all romantic. I want to tell you how me and my wife got together back in the day. It's a fantastic story. Omu might roll his eyes. He was there through the whole thing. Oh, gosh. No, I'm just joking. He thinks it's fantastic as well. Yeah. Okay, so I met my wife. Where is Monica? I think God told her, you better get out the room now. So she ran out. So I met Monica, my meifrou. She was sitting over here. I met her about 4, 5, 6 years, 2010. Met her in 2010, halfway through 2010. Well, I remember meeting her in 2010. In July, I got saved, and I was a stoner. And before that, apparently I met her, but I don't remember meeting her. But I met her. I remember meeting her after I got saved in July 2010, 25th of July 2010. And we became fast friends. And about 6 months later, I asked her out because I was like, yes, everything's going my way, you know. And then, but I didn't know Monica was a cricket player because she went. She batted me for a 6. That knocked me down because I was like, sure. You know, I just got saved. I read that scripture in Genesis, you know. He finds a wife, finds a good thing, and earns favor from the Lord. So now I'm a Christian. Where's my wife? God, you know, I deserve a wife. And then, anyway, I learned the hard way. That's not really how it works. Okay. So Monica and I somehow managed to stay friends, even though she battered me. And then 2012 came, and I was still very much in love with Monica, and Monica was just like running around acting like it meant nothing. Typical girls, you know. Does my pain mean nothing to you? No, I'm joking. Can I just tell you that when I first asked her out, she told me to write her a letter, and then she made me wait 3 days for a reply. Yes, I know, eh? I've suffered so much. Anyway, so 2012 came along, and I was still very much running after Monica, and Monica, and Monica this, and Monica that, and Monica's carrying on with her life. And I felt God saying to me very clearly, okay, Luke, I want you to take this year off. No dating. I was like, great, God, never had a girlfriend before, and you wanted me to take off date. It's fine. And the way that he told me was through two scriptures, okay? So he told me first through the story of Ruth, okay? Okay, you can go read the book of Ruth. An amazing story. A widower leaves her homeland with her mother-in-law and finds a man named Boaz. But in the scripture, what was interesting and very anti-cultural was that the girl approached the man. Ruth went and slept at the feet of Boaz to let him know that she was interested in him, which was completely countercultural. Okay, in those times, your family went and found your wife, and then they brought the wife to you, and you made the advances and things like that. So, and then the second scripture God showed me was the story of when the servant went to go fetch Isaac's wife in Genesis 24, another scripture you can go read. Basically, Abraham was a very old man and he wanted a wife for his son Isaac. So he sent his servant to his homeland to go get Rachel. Yes, got that right. And so God was telling me, okay, Luke, you're going to take this year off. And what's more is that you're not going to run after any girl because the girl that I want you to marry, I'm going to send her to you. I was like, sure. Okay. So I received these two scriptures. I read the word and I received these two scriptures. Okay, I went to my friends. My friends confirmed it. We'll talk a bit about that just now, the whole important part about confirmation. But the point I want to make is that the reason God was able to talk to me like this was because I had devoted myself to reading. I woke up at 6 every morning, read my Bible for an hour, got ready at 7, was at class at 8 o'clock. I did that every day without fail. Okay? And God was able to talk to me through the word about what he wanted me to do for that year. So right at the beginning of the year, he said, Luke, take off this year. I want you to focus on your relationship with me. Okay? Because first off, you have daddy issues and you don't know how to treat women right. Okay? And second of, you know, you're running, Monica's an idol. You don't really like her. You like her for what you can get out of her. Okay? So I want you to take it, and I'm going to send the girl that I want you to marry, I'm going to send her to you. And that's, I mean, that's for a lot of like single guys, and myself included, like you think, yes, God's going to send you a wife. Sure. You know, I must just wait at home, you know. Anyway, it goes completely against today's culture, you know. Man must pursue. Man's the hunter. You know, man. We all got egos and we have to run after girls and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so, but I decided that, okay, first off, God spoke to me through his word. I'm going to take him on faith. So I made it known to my friends, and my friends held me accountable. I said, I'm taking this year off. Okay? That's it. Anyway, so Monica and I were going on a mission to Mozambique together that year. And I was leading the team, and I was around about 2 months before we were about to leave. I'm just like, sheesh, I cannot handle this anymore. So I go and I pray to God and I say, God, okay, if this is going to be a problem on the mission, I need you to remove her. Okay? She must go. And then 3 weeks later, she tells me, I'm not going on the mission anymore. It's like, great, thanks. So not only is she a problem now, no, I can't handle myself. That's why it's going to be a problem. No, I'm just joking. But I was very troubled by this. And then, I knew that, okay, it's not for me to decide what's going to happen. Okay, it's not for me to say what is going to happen, to pursue it. I prayed to God. He heard me out. He granted my prayer. She was off the mission. And I left it. For me, focus on the mission, focus on the rest of the year. And then, and there's a lot of things that God came and spoke to me about. Like, first off, you know, guy needs to learn to treat women first like a sister. Okay? Because us guys, let's be honest, we meet girls and we already categorize them into our mind. Okay, potential, no ways, maybe, I've got a chance. Yeah? Okay, well, the guys are like, yeah? Okay. But what does the Bible say? He says there's two categories. There's brothers and there's sisters. Right? When you meet a girl, she's your sister. And you honor her like that. Until you put a ring on her finger, she's God's child and she's your sister. Yes, even for you dating people. Okies. Okay. But the same goes for guys. Sometimes guys don't know how to relate to other guys. Guys are first and foremost your brothers. They're not competition. They're not people that you have to outdo. Okay? Guys and your egos, yeah? They're your brothers. Okay, you look out for them. And something that really influenced me was when somebody said, you can tell a lot about how a man is going to treat his wife by the way that he talks to his mother. And you can tell a lot about how a woman is going to relate to you as a wife by the way that she relates to her father. Interesting, eh? Apparently some psychology tests and some very clever people came up with that. But there's something that God came to minister into mind, something that needed to change. You know, I'll talk a bit more about that as well in the next part during that. But needless to say, there came a fateful day on Monica's birthday, actually, on the 18th of May, when she decided that she's going to tell me, no, the reason she left the mission was because she started to have feelings for me. Oh, sweet. Oh. Yes, she's gone, eh? She's like, nowhere. Where is she? Monica. She's probably blushing outside. Anyway, it's fine. When she comes back in, just act cool, okay? Otherwise, you'll scare her away. It's cool, you know? Anyway. And this was confirmation of what God said. He said, Luke, stop running after when your wife, and it wasn't necessarily Monica, when your person-to-be is ready, I'm going to send them to you. And it was such an amazing confirmation by obeying God's word, because I devoted myself to Scripture and God had spoken to me through his word. Monica came and said, okay, Luke, I have feelings for you. What are we going to do about this? And then I was able to go, yeah, better for a six. And it was revenge and it was sweet. No, I'm just joking. I said, okay. And that was a test because I don't know if she knew about my commitment for the year. But it was a test because I knew that I could make up some spiritual hoo-ha and say, okay, yeah, let's start going out right now. Okay, cool. You know? And but I knew that it had to happen then because I had to say, okay, Monica, I respect you and I would really like to be in a relationship with you. But I committed this year to my relationship with God. Okay? And I would really like it if you could wait for me for the end of the year. And if not, I understand and I bless you and I send you and good luck without me. Not joking. But if you're willing to wait, then we can pursue this next year. And Monica said, yeah, sure, let's wait. And then we started going out on the 1st of January 2013. And we got married a year and a half later. Fantastic. Was it a year and a half? Hello, Leafy. Yeah. We're like, yeah, maybe we should wait a few days into the new year, you know, just out of respect or something. I was like, I'm not religious. We'll start going out on the 1st of January. Thank you very much. Waited long enough. But there's a very real application when God comes and speaks to you through his word, okay, and says, okay, this is what I want you to hear out. This is what I want you to read. You're reading this because I want to communicate this with you, right? There's a fantastic scripture. For the word of God is alive and active. It's amazing. Eh? It's relevant to us right now. It's alive. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When God came and gave me these scriptures, there were some very hard words. He basically said, Luke, you are an idolater. You do not love me. You love the idea of a wife more than your relationship with me. There was, the word came and it separated and the truth was laid bare, and I had to come to terms with where I was at. Fantastic. Example, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Can somebody open it up for me? I forgot to mention example for circumstances. Go read Jonah and the Whale, classic story about circumstances, God talking to you through circumstances. That's in the book of Jonah, for those of you who don't know. Okay, we got to get a move on. So has anybody got 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 for me? Jama.
It says, all scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Great. Okay. I'm not going to hop on that point. I think it's pretty self-explanatory because we need to get a move on. But just to make a last point, the way that we help others with the word, okay? So now there's a very important part that I mentioned. I said, I got a scripture and then I went to my friends and they confirmed it to me and I went to Amu as well. And the only way that they can confirm it is because they also know the word. They are also familiar with the word. So if you want to help a friend with the word of God, you've got to know scripture. Devote yourself to scripture. Read it every day. Okay? It's a discipline. Sometimes you're not going to like it. Okay? Sometimes I don't want to spend time with Amu. Okay? But I have to discipline myself because he's my friend. And I love him as well. Okay. We got it? Yeah? Okay, so if you're going to help somebody hear the word, you've got to know word. Okay? So when they come and say, okay, God's telling me this, this, and this, and you can go, no, that's not true because the Bible says this, this, and this. Or you can say, yes, I think you're right because that confirms what I know about the word. Okay, God's not going to give you anything that contradicts his word. Amen? Okay, let's go into group three. The still small voice. Who's our spokesperson there? Fantastic. Won't say anything about Valentine's Day.
Good evening. My name is TJ. I'm Philip's son. Our scripture, or one of the scriptures, was Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." I was also reminded of the story of Elijah, where he got so like overwhelmed and depressed that he ran away. And it says that there came a fire and God was not in the fire. And then there was a gentle whisper. And God was in that gentle whisper. And, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget why we first, you know, got saved. And, yeah, that's all I have. Now it's her turn.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I'm Lucinda. What he just said, the verse was of Elijah was in 1 Kings 19:12. And it said, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper, which means that Jesus is a gentleman and he will talk like softly with you. And we had an encouragement in our groups of one of the ladies that said that she wanted to commit suicide. She was at the point where she already drank the pills and she was just ready to get over because of depression and things going on in her life in grade 8. So she just heard the one voice said, doing it, do it, do it. And then just the voice that said, don't do it, which was very quiet. And I said to her that she can use that as a testimony to people who really want to end their lives. So that voice in our head is not just that a reminder or whatever. It's there to direct us and stuff like that. And also sometimes God can... where you at in your life, when you hear that voice, you can, like Philip, Uncle Philip also said, you can just go back to the word, just like to go on God's word, what he said, like he's a good father, he will always be there for you in that quiet voice. Thank you.
Can I just add one more thing? In the 46 verse 10, Psalm 46 verse 10, it also says that I will be exalted among the nations. So you first have to be still and find God and know him. And then you will be exalted and he will use you to reach out to all the nations and all the earth.
Fantastic. Give them a round of applause. Thanks, guys. I want to share with you why did I choose to be part of the ministry, and why do I feel called to be in the ministry? And it happened in 2012. We were just before I was about to go to Mozambique on this mission team that I was leading, and we're at our church and we had a mission sending service. So all the different teams. I think at that time there were about 40 different teams going all over the world, and we're praying for them and sending them on their way. And we were one of the teams. In that particular service, the pastor did a sermon on the father wound. And I had, about a few weeks before that, just done, you know, a bit of deliverance myself, where I came to terms with, you know, the effects of my father being absent in my life, the effects that it had on my life, and forgave him, and there's a lot of restoration, a lot of healing, and God came and showed me that he was my father, and you know, taught me how to treat girls, taught me how to deal with other guys, taught me to stand up for myself. It's fantastic 6 months, got delivered of spirit of death. Omu was also there. That was over my life where I wanted to commit suicide the whole time. And anyway, amazing period. And it culminated in this point where God said, okay, now we've done all these things, but this is what I want you to do. And he showed me right at the end, the pastor did an altar call for people that had been affected negatively by their fathers in their life. They had a father wound in their life. Their father wasn't there. They didn't grow up with a father. The father treated them badly. And it was a hall of about 800 to 1,000 students, yeah, something like that. And about two-thirds of them went forward in response to this call. This is about 600 to 800 people up front because their father just didn't pitch up in one form or another, right? And I didn't feel that I had to go for it because I took it in faith that God had dealt with me. And I stood in the back and I was bawling my eyes out. I was just like, how can we live in a generation where our fathers aren't here? And I'm talking about, and I've seen, you know, over the last few years, I've seen so many things just because of absent fathers, you know. I've seen guys who hate their fathers and say, I'm never going to be an alcoholic, drink themselves nearly to death. I've seen girls go after every single guy available because they never learned from their fathers, you know, what is a decent guy and what's not a decent guy, you know. I've seen it all, and it's all basically comes down because the men in our society do not stand up and make a difference. And so I felt God saying that, I felt that there was this call and say, Luke, you can be part of the solution. And I made a stand that I want to be a part of student ministry because I want to be involved in students' life because I believe that God has called me to be a father in a fatherless generation. And I believe that God is going to use me to get to other people, teach men how to be men, and teach girls how to be daughters. Okay? So girls, there's a guy running after you, come talk to me. Okay? And I've had the privilege of being involved with many girls' lives and the relationships that they have. Monica can tell you, after I came back from a Mozambique mission, after accepting this call from God, I ended up ministering to all her friends in Res. It was hilarious. One after another, just supernatural encounters. And God was already starting to use me because he had taught me how to be a brother to my sisters. He was using me how to minister into their lives. And it was fantastic seeing them go into relationships and still asking me, Luke, my boyfriend did this, what should I? And I go, okay, I'll meet with him and I'll punch him in the face the next time I see him. But it's an honor, it's fantastic, and I love it. And even today, God is still using me in that regard. And a lot of my friends, my guy friends as well, they see me as a brother, and they come to me for godly counsel. And I don't know why, but apparently I'm the person to come to for advice. And it was just because God spoke to me and said, Luke, do you want to be part of this? And I was like, yes, I want to be a part of this. There's amazing scripture, Matthew 7, verse 7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's fantastic, you know. And God is a good father. The next scripture, I probably should have put it up there. He says, what kind of a father, when his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? You know? And that is the person that I want you to get to know. When you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. I want to say that again. I want that to sink in. Okay, because I know that there are people trusting for things. Okay. I know that people have bad encounters with people, and when they go to God, They don't expect anything's going to happen. But I want you to hear, okay? And I'm praying that your spirits will hear. Maybe your ears won't hear, but I'm praying that your spirits will hear. When you ask God for bread, He won't give you a stone. It's an amazing scripture. Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, is about a widower. Jesus tells a parable about a widower who goes to an unjust judge and keeps nagging him. Nag, nag, nag. And the judge goes, if I give her what she wants, maybe she'll just leave me alone, you know. Whereas this image, God was saying, now if a widower does that with an unjust judge, how much more will your Father, who is just, listen to you? So I'm challenging you, push in, seek, knock, search, ask. There's a scripture that says, ask for the nations as your inheritance. Do you ask for the nations as your inheritance? But we're going to move on. Group number four. Oh, wait. How can I use this to help someone else hear God's voice? Okay? Hearing God's voice is like a radio. You tune in. And somebody's going to come to you and say, I believe God told me this. And you're going to go, no, sorry, bro, that's 5 FM. You're not hearing God's voice. Okay? 5 FM, secular. Okay? Not Aris Gea, where God only speaks on Aris Gea. It's a joke. Okay? But in order for you to confirm that person's voice, you've got to know what God's voice sounds like as well. Am I correct? Okay. So you've got to spend time seeking God's presence, knocking, searching, asking. Okay. And when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I feel God saying this and this and this, you'll be able to confirm it. Why? Because you know His voice. What's that scripture that says? Should have put that up as well. I only thought about it now. My sheep know my voice. Okay. Omo just gave me the answer. It was under his breath. Okay. But let's carry on. We're running out of time. Okay, God talks to us through other people. Group number four.
Okay, there's so many examples in the Bible. I think the one that jumps up is, I think it was Moses that went to the Pharaoh, and God told him to speak his words, and you know, it's a good example actually of he shouldn't fear it, because he feared it, and he asked that Aaron join him, or God told that Aaron must go with. And for me, that was like God spoke to atheists. You know, the Pharaoh wasn't a Christian, but he uses us to speak to it. Okay, then obviously prophets. We all read in the Bible about prophets, and I don't know if I have time to read something. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for I shall go to all the whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, okay, well, I'm stopping there, but that's Jeremiah. That's actually very similar to what happened between Moses and the Lord. I think you can think of what happened between the Israelites and Moses was also speaking, used to speak between the Lord and the Israelites. You can think of Joseph, that the The butler and the baker and the dreams. The Lord used him to lay out their dreams. By the way, they were also not Christians, that neither of them. What else is there? Testimonies, okay. This is the words that Jesus spoke to, let me read it. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in the cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So here you have people telling that to John to strengthen him again, because he was in prison. He was really down. Again, other people speaking. What else? Okay. You must also remember there's a lot of books that shares these testimonies. You have, I think, a good example is Corrie ten Boom. You know, that is really straight off God. It is a testimony, and I think you all know when you read these testimonies how much it strengthens you. I think if we have time, we can use a word of knowledge, maybe.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, Johan. Jumping ahead of my sermon. But only because he talks to God, so he knows what's going to happen. Okay. Thank you. Clive. Give him a round of applause. No. Okay. Proverbs 15, verse 22. I used this scripture at a small group this last Wednesday. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So, I don't know if you've noticed, and I did it very intentionally because I was setting you all up, but a lot of what we're talking about here requires other people. It requires community, okay? I don't know about you, but when I start spending time around other Christians, being a Christian starts to get a bit easier, right? Okay, and if you talk to any of the guys who've done their prac here, okay, when they're out in the middle of nowhere, being a Christian gets a bit tougher. Yeah? Okay? Don't raise too many hands. Okay. But we were made to be in community. Okay? God gave us the church, and I love the church. It's beautiful, and it comes in many different forms, and God works through many of them, and some of them are adopted, and we have grace for them. But the church is beautiful, and God loves his church, and Jesus is coming back for his church. Okay, he's not coming back for people, he's coming back for his church. Right? He's coming back for his bride. And yes, the church is made of people. Okay, but I want to encourage you, okay, to get involved with people. Okay, if you want to know God is speaking to you, you need to bounce these things off other people. In the counsel of many, but with the advisors they succeeded. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Get people around you. Build relationship with them. Learn to trust them. Okay? If a stranger walks across the road and says, "Wow, I really don't like your beard. You should shave it." Okay? I'm going to go, "Cool, bro. Have a nice day." If my wife comes to me and says, "Luke, you need a shave," she's laughing because she's been nagging me for the last 3 days, then I'm going to take it a bit more seriously. Do you understand what I'm saying? Learn to trust the people. Learn to build relationship. Okay? Because when you when you are in a tough time, when you need to bounce things off people and you've got nobody around you, do you know what? You usually start listening to the first thing that's at hand, okay? Whether you think about it or not. And that's usually on your cell phone, on the TV, on the computer, okay? The state of the nation address. God forbid. No, I'm joking. God bless Jacob Zuma. God's plan for him is to be saved and to be a godly ruler of this nation. Amen? Okay. And we will pray for that. Okay. Mark 3 verse 14. Can somebody turn there for me, please? If somebody's got it, you can just stick up your hand. Great, Johan. Can you read it for me?
Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach.
I love that. We spoke about the scripture last week, but I'm just gonna repeat that the first part of that scripture. He appointed, Jesus appointed the 12 apostles to first off be with him. Okay? If Jesus needs people around him, how much more do you need people around you? Amen? Okay. So I want to say that this is a great family. I love it and I'd love you to be a part of it. Okay? I think we're a great bunch of people. If not, that's okay. There's a lot of great churches in this town. Okay? There's Patria Church, Hope Church. To name a few, but get planted, okay? God is moving in this town amazingly. Get planted. Get with family. Don't do it alone, okay? You will, if you go at it alone, it's brave, but you will die. Spiritually, you will die, okay? You're welcome here. We'd love you to be a part of it, but like I say, doesn't matter if it's with us, if it's another great church in this town, but get planted. Get into a community of believers. Why? Because there's three ways God uses other people. About confirmation, we've spoken a lot about confirmation. Okay? Words of knowledge. We're going to speak more of this in the weeks to come when we discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Okay? And these are basically just ways God uses people to talk to us. Okay, say yes, no, sounding board. But it doesn't work if we don't surround ourselves with people. Amen? Okay. There's a few things that I want you to keep in mind. First off, God does not contradict his word. Philip said right at the beginning, we've got to take God to who he says he is. That he's a good father. Okay? That he has plans of hope for us. Right? His plans of hope for us. It's amazing. That Jesus is sitting at the right hand, interceding on our behalf 24/7. This is the kind of God that we serve, the kind of God that we're in relationship with. God does not contradict his word. He's not going to tell you things that aren't in his word. He's not going to go tell you to steal a plane for Jesus. Okay? Stealing is wrong. Okay? Second thing I want you to remember is that you've got to be firm in your identity in Christ. How do you get firm in your identity in Christ? You read this and you find out what God says about you. Okay? Because if you don't know what God says about you, you're going to accept what the world says about you. Okay? Magazines are going to tell you you've got to look like this. Guys are going to tell you you've got to act like this. YouTube clips are going to tell you you've got to treat women like this. If you don't know who you are, the world is going to tell you who you are. Okay? Get stuck in this. Learn who God says you are. That's a challenge I want to give each and every one of you for this week. Okay? Take this word. Learn who God says you are. And then finally, take things back to your trusted friends, community. Get involved with people. Okay, so we're gonna break things off, but I just feel that that they, let's stand up. Just the first people that I need to respond. When I said to you earlier, when you ask God for bread, he will not give you a stone. If you can't see that happening, okay, you understand it here, okay? You understand it up here in your head, but it doesn't make sense in your heart. You've been through a lot, and I'm not going to underplay your circumstances or what you've been through, okay? But you've learned certain things, and you need to unlearn them. Okay, and I want you up front here. Okay. So just where you are, just leave your stuff and come up forward. Because God wants to say to you, okay, if you ask me for bread, I will not give you a stone. And I want God to give you a revelation of that tonight. Okay. I don't want to underplay your circumstances. Okay. And then there's a second bunch of people that I need to respond. And you've been running around. You've been going from place to place, from church to church, from people to people. They tell you something, you don't like it, so you leave. Okay? And God says, it's enough. It's time to come home. Stop running around. Okay? Because he says in his word in Psalm 23, he says, I prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Okay? And this is the picture. He's prepared a table for you, and you're just running around the table. And you don't want to come and sit down and eat. I've got this whole feast for you. You don't want to come sit down and eat. And I want you to come up front here as well. If you've been running around, it's time for you to settle down. Don't think about it. Just come. I can wait for you. But in the meantime, I don't want you to turn to each other, okay? And you're going to pray with each other now. And I want you to first just pray for each other and just affirm each other as children of God. Okay? And I want you to then just pray for yourselves and just say, God, Father, just pray that you'll help me to be a light to a person this week. Okay? God, you've helped me so much. Father, you've blessed me so much. Father, can I please be a blessing to somebody else? Okay, so while, just can you guys just carry on with that, just while we pray for these people.